I'm going to do something I've never done before, and that is I am going to read to you, and I'm going to ask you to listen. How's that? I'm going to read the Word of God to you. I'm going to start out, you see on your outline maybe, I'm in Hebrews chapter 11, starting off with a reading. I'm going to read through a couple of scriptures, and then we're going to dive into some stuff that I almost guarantee you've not thought about. It's challenged me all week. Here it is from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35, talking about those who stood for their faith. And listen to this. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Those were God's people. Let me keep going here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24. Let me read to you when Paul talks about his experience. Somebody who even got captured up to get a glimpse of heaven. Listen to what he says. With far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings and often near death, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. And I don't have time to go through a list of people I've got here. God's people, Daniel, got put in the lion's den. Some of his friends got put into a fiery furnace to be melted. Joseph was put in a prison and sold into slavery in the Old Testament. Paul was put in a dungeon. Peter was put in a prison. John was exiled to Patmos. These are God's people. I had the magic preacher on this morning in an audience of probably 20-some-odd thousand people, and I watched. My wife left the room, but I stood through and watched. And you know what? Heard none of this. All I heard was this, that if you believe in Jesus, you will get the best of everything that this world has to offer. You will get the best. And I go like this, hold it. But in Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about these people. They were sawn in two. I don't know what that looks like, but that's horrible. 2 Corinthians here, we read about, my goodness, Paul, what did you go through? And in light of all that, I've got one more scripture. Can you flip up today's scripture on the board? And here's where we're going to dive in with some pretty meaty stuff. In 2 Corinthians 4, chapters 16 to 18, I want you to see this. And I would say that I never think like this. Paul writes and says this, in light of all of this, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And look at verse 17. I'll say it before we get to it. Are you kidding me? For this light, momentary affliction. Hey, dude, did you not read what you wrote before? Did you not read what the author of Hebrews said before? Do you not know the stories of the Old Testament saints who were filleted for the cause of God and for standing with Him? And you say in verse 17, for this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Let's pray. Our Father, we have selected some scriptures this morning to show that even though it got preached in the big church this morning, that just believing in You and we get all the gravy and none of the pain and none of the fear of this life, because You continue to give out cars and diamonds and vacation homes. You're just such a great God. Who wouldn't follow You for that? But Father, we're smarter than that. We read our text and we know of stories and we know of our own life. And we know that that's not true. We know that following you costs. We know that following you exacts a price many times. And we know that many who've gone before this have given their very lives as they stood for you boldly. Father, as we study suffering and affliction one more time this morning, I ask that you would guide us in our thinking. Father, in fact, we give you the permission to rearrange our minds and our hearts this morning with the information that we're going to look at from your word. And that's exactly how we want to be taught by your Holy Spirit. Amen. There is a foundational teaching, Matt. Wake you up? Okay. There is a foundational teaching. Matt and I do this off the cuff every week. You don't know that, do you? No. There's a foundational teaching before we dive into all of this. And that foundational teaching is the fact that God is with us. God is with His people. From early in the Scripture, God is with His people. All the way through the Scripture, God is with His people. At the end of the Scripture, God is with His people. It's a dynamic I cannot get away from. And you know what? I need to be reminded of that before we look at this text. Matt, come on up and share this. God with us.
All right, how about this? Let's do a quick survey of God with His creation. So God created mankind to have someone that He could spend time with. It's as simple as that. Now we see, even in the garden, God would walk. He walked in the cool of the day. The implication is regularly. This is a time He would visit. Cool of the day, evening. And if you look at the implication of the Hebrew, we read it says, and they heard the sound of God walking in the garden. Well, it actually uses this word kol, which means they heard the sound walking, not the sound of God walking. So you go, well, it must mean the sound of God walking. No, I would argue you can make a good case, and a lot of ancient Jews did, that this was the word of the Lord, like that part of the Lord that goes forth to be with man, who John, of course, says took on flesh and was Jesus Christ. Now, what happened? Sin drove Adam and Eve, drove a wedge between them and the Lord and His dwelling presence with them. And that was what the kingdom of God was in the Garden of Eden, God with His people. But they drove a wedge, exiled from the garden. Now, for quite a while, quite some time, God would still visit with people. If they loved Him, He would make a special appearance. He might speak to their heart. But He didn't dwell with them physically. He wasn't actually present. He would just come at times. So at Sinai, He brings His people out through Abraham, who, by the way, was saved by grace through faith alone, and that's why He did this. They come to Mount Sinai, Exodus 19. And the Lord, through Moses, says, okay, I'm ready to, let's try this again. Let's start a kingdom again. Let's bring creation back to its redemptive state. Let's begin the process, and I'll dwell with you. First, I need you to agree to follow my commandments. And all the Hebrews, they go, okay, we'll do it. Now, they didn't, but nevertheless, at this point, they said they would. And so the Lord responded, and He said, okay, then I'm going to dwell with you again. And upon Sinai, as if a great pillar of light, fire, and smoke cascaded upon the mountain, quickly crashed upon that mountain. It must have been quite a sight. I think this would have been overwhelming. There at the base of the mountain, crashes down. Now, I'm skipping a lot of narrative. They spend some time with Him. Some are able to get closer to Him. Moses is able to get very close to Him. That's what the burning bush was about. It's just God's presence is there. It's glowing out of the bush. I think He was behind the bush. And we see, as if fire is consuming it. Okay, so let's skip ahead a few centuries. Now, the Hebrews have not obeyed, have they? They have rejected God. So God's presence, He doesn't want to leave, though. But He said, I'm going to. I'm going to stop this kingdom if you don't stop sinning. And He warns them again and again, generation after generation. And they just keep sinning. And finally, He goes, I got to go. I told you I'd leave. But you know what happens? Remember how quickly He came on the mountain? He starts to leave the temple. And He kind of hovers there for a while. The prophet sees Him hover. And He starts to go back in a little bit. Then He starts to leave again a little bit. Then He hovers over the city a little bit. Goes to the Mount of Olives. And finally departs. He's very slow to depart His people. Very slow to leave. But you know what? We see these other prophecies about the glory of the Lord returning to Israel. And we don't have time to talk about how that manifests itself in Jesus. It does. Mount of Transfiguration. But those narratives we see, Ezekiel talks about He'll return, but He'll rush in. He'll come in quickly from the east. That's why Jesus says, when the Son of Man returns, He'll come as lightning from the east. What's the point of all this? The Lord is very slow to depart from his people, but he's so quick to return, reluctant to leave, excited to return. Now, in this present age, although the glory of the Lord doesn't dwell in a temple, we have the Holy Spirit who the Lord has given us, that the Son has given us in his place to connect us with him. So even though the Lord is on his throne and the Son is on the right hand of the Father, we can still have a direct connection with him through the Holy Spirit. And I would argue a more direct connection than the ancient Hebrews had, even though God's actual presence was in their temple. Because a lot of them couldn't even have access to him. But we can through the Holy Spirit. So you can actually foster this relationship and you can feel God's presence if you spend time in the Word and you pray to him and you ask him. And in this way, God, you'll feel like he's more your father than an abstract concept. You'll feel it on a relational concept. And it can transform how you understand the world. And it can transform and influence your very walk and your very actions and how you think about creation in your own life.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate that. As I was getting this together, it seemed logical to me to assemble it the way it is on your outline, talking about weighing things. And so let's start at verse 16 here as we look at this, okay? It says this, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." To understand suffering, you need to understand some of these things. And your first point is very obvious, and that is that we need to accurately weigh our outer person. You know your outer person, don't you? You can feel it, can't you? Your outer person is your flesh. It's your body. It's the part of you that woke up this morning and went like this. Oh man, my sinuses are so killing me. Okay? Or I don't feel really good today. Or I do feel really good today. My outer self is the part of me that gets hungry, it gets thirsty, it feels hot or cold. It might lack some of the necessities of the comforts of life. It experiences illness, harshness, bitter disease. It experiences fatigue, it labors, it feels, it sorrows, it hurts. And eventually coming up, there is a death moment for it. Everybody knows this, right? I've got to accurately weigh this outer person. The best way to explain it to you is this. You go home and get your birth certificate out. Many of us haven't seen our birth certificate in years, but when you go look at it, it's the same as it was when you looked at it years ago. There's a date on that birth certificate. It's your born-on date. It's the date that you started your life, and you're going to notice something. As the years and the calendars have continued to progress, your birth date has stayed the same. Have you noticed that? You can do whatever you want, but that birth date stays right where it's at. As the days go on, and every so often you look at a calendar, every so often on New Year's Day you go, how did it get to be 2017 already? But my birth date hasn't moved. In fact, if you don't believe that the outer part is wasting away, I've got a little plan if you want to do it with me, all right? 1 year from today, this Sunday, 1 year, I invite all of you back here to meet together and we can check each other out to see what the difference is over the course of 1 year. Not a big deal. That's right. Take pictures. Not a big deal, right? Hold it. Oh, suppose I did this though. Suppose 10 years from today, I tell you we're all making this great agreement and we're going to meet right back here and check each other out to see what's changed. What do you think, if we're here, okay? What do you think has changed, all right? You can see where this might be going, okay? 25 years from today, we make an agreement that we're all going to be back here together to check each other out to see if anything has changed. Now, I will tell you this. On your birth certificate, nothing has changed. It says the exact same data and born on date. But now you're 25 years older. And what do you think that's going to look like? 30. 40 years. What are you laughing at? This is what goes on. You get the idea, don't you? Things change. And I don't think it takes much convincing to show you what verse 16 says. Our outer self is wasting away. Don't lose heart, but our outer self is wasting away. Point number two from the same verse is I think you need to accurately weigh your inner person. According to our text, this inner self is being renewed day by day. That word renewed is a continuer. If you're writing notes down, it means to be continually be rebuilt. Continually be rebuilt or reformed. Always be changing. It's time to understand that as a follower of Christ, you are always in the process of being formed. Did you get that? As a follower of Christ, you are always about the process of being, and here it is, renewed, reformed, changed. And that means you're being changed into Jesus Christ that you can better serve Him and better glorify Him. In fact, again, if you're taking some more notes, keep going. This process might involve me being bent, shaped, trimmed, cut, polished, all by Him and for His glory. Think of it this way. We're almost always in a continual state of affliction to one degree or another, all for the purpose of being renewed day by day, rebuilding on the inside of me. This is why we as followers of Christ don't hold on to the physical like it's the end all, because we all realize that the physical will end someday coming forward. That's why we want to focus on the things that really matter, the things that are of God, the things of the eternal soul, the things that will glorify Him forever. The inner self is being renewed, look at it, day by day, a phrase to indicate it's happening all the time, whether I think of it or not. I'm about the process of being renewed. You might not like that, but when you came to Christ, you gave Him permission to do that. And so every second of the day, He is about the business of forming you into Jesus Christ. Third point, they go by pretty quick. Verse 17, you looking up here? Here's the phrase that sticks in my teeth. Okay? Look at it. For this light, momentary affliction? I don't mind Him saying affliction, but to call it light and momentary like it's no big deal? You mean to tell me, Paul, that when you were out at sea and drifting for a day and a night, have you been out in the sea at night? It is scary dark without a moon. And you were floating out there apparently without a ship or whatever, just hanging on, and you're willing to say that that was light and momentary affliction? That's pretty tough. You got your notes out for point three here because we need to accurately weigh our afflictions. You know what affliction means? It means to have something not go my way. It means to have something hurt. Let's be honest here. Some afflictions are not light. We'll get back to that. In fact, they can be quite heavy. Did you listen to Jerry tell his story last week? If you weren't here, he told this heartfelt, I think gut-wrenching, as I put myself in his situation, about losing their daughter when she was a little girl to a disease. They'd watched it going on for a little bit of time and knew where the end was going to be. And to listen to a father talk about that, that was horrible. In fact, that was my comment at home. It was horrible. What an event. That wasn't light and momentary. And you know what? I think of the caskets that I've carried, of small children to their gravesite. That wasn't easy. And that was not light and momentary as you come up to the gravesite and there's mommy, daddy, grandma, grandpa, and the immediate family crying their eyes out. And that's happened a couple times to me. And that wasn't light and momentary. A few years ago, I did a funeral for a young mom with two young kids that sat in the front row of a funeral that I was doing for mom who was in the casket. And then you won't believe this. Inside of 3 months, I buried her husband, the father of those kids, as they now sat in the same front row, now with the grandparents, having lost both parents inside of 3 months. What do you say to that? This isn't in my notes, but I'll tell you this. I was doing that funeral for the second parent. Even as I think of it now, it gets to me. And I walked away because they had me put back way back here next to the casket and the audience was way out there. And I just said, and I walked all the way up and I walked up to the kids in their seats and I addressed them by their name. And I said, you know what, guys? Believe it or not, God's got a plan on this. And let me tell you a story. And I told them a real brief 1 minute version of being with my dad as a kid when he passed and told him that story. And I said, you wouldn't believe how God was there for me at the most hideous time of my life. And just explained it to these two little kids. I'd never done that before. As many times during service, I've wanted to walk up to some of you maybe napping and do the same thing. But you know who you are. Anyway, but in this case, I just felt like it would just be so cool if I could just walk up and talk to them. And I did. Away from the microphone and talked to them for a couple minutes as they sat there, young grade school age, horrified that their second parent was now viewable in a casket and we were going to bury it in a little bit. That was not light and momentary. That was terrible. I've been with people as their businesses have shut down and they've lost everything financially. I've been with people who have split up marriages because of other love interests. I've been with somebody after they murdered somebody. I've been with the family of the murdered person after they murdered somebody. I've just been in situations. And none of those situations were light and momentary. They were horrible. They were hideous, Jerry, just like your story. How does this compute? By the end, it will. You got your notes? I want you to write something down. This is a quote I want you to have. I don't know what you might want to do with it, but you can have this quote. Listen to it, and then you can write it, okay? It goes like this. The follower of Christ walks to eternity through the field of affliction. Listen, I'll say it again. The follower of Christ walks to eternity through the field of affliction. Amen? Nobody agrees with that?
Amen.
The follower of Christ walks to eternity through the field of affliction. Every single person on this planet, because of sin, every person will have to endure afflictions of all different sorts, of all different varieties and all different intensities. The only difference is that in my life with Jesus Christ, those afflictions, those hurts, those setbacks are used by Him to grow me and renew me day by day. And because of sin in my life, it seems like I learn best instead of finding that second 75 carat diamond in my yard this afternoon, it seems I learn best by losing my business and learn about Him, and there's the process. I'm being renewed day by day. Verse 17 here states that we're going to, look at this, have the eternal weight of glory, which is beyond all comparison. Have you ever heard about the eternal weight of glory? Have you ever heard the fact, I don't know if you've taken notes or not, maybe you should, but you should write down Romans 8:17. Romans 8:17, where Paul makes this claim. Listen to this. We shall share in His glory. I never hear anybody talk about that. I never hear anybody give me an understanding of what it means right here in verse 17. This light and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. So when I get to a tough spot in a sermon where I realize not even many people have written about this stuff, I call Matt and I say, hey, Matt, can you maybe give us some explanation on the weight of His glory?
I'll try.
No. All right, let's start here. Yes, a nice Adam Sandler reference. All right, after Jesus' resurrection, the apostles, seven of them actually, you can find this in John 21, they're out fishing. And the Lord is on the seashore, and once Peter realizes that it's Jesus, he's so excited to see Him, he grabs his clothes and he starts putting them on because he was probably, apparently he was stripped down, possibly even naked, and he just needed it. So he was so excited, he put his clothes on, he jumps out of the boat to get to the seashore to see the Lord. And soon afterwards, the Lord prepares a little dinner on the seashore for him. And He says to him, you know, you're able to clothe yourself now and go wherever you like, aren't you? But you know what? The day's coming when you won't be able to do that. That someone else will put things on you and they'll stretch forward your arms and they'll take you where you would rather not go. And then the text goes on to say that Jesus said this to tell Peter by what death he would glorify the Lord. So we know from the early church fathers that Peter was also crucified upside down. So horrible death. No doubt they took him where he didn't want to go. They girded him with something else, all right, a cross. Now, what does it say? By he glorified God through his death. Now, does suffering itself bring you some kind of reward or virtue in life? No, I'm afraid not. In fact, there's been a lot of, even church history, this has been a weird way to think. It's brought us asceticism and things that don't help the Lord. But suffering for the sake of the gospel and for God, Oh, he's going to honor that. And that's what this is talking about. At the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord will determine awards for his followers. This is a difficult thing for many evangelicals to hear because we know that we're saved by grace through faith alone. And yet, Paul especially, and John, but Paul especially talks about various rewards and glory given to us at the judgment seat of Christ. So they're both true. You have eternity with God through the blood of Jesus, but through your service on behalf of the gospel, you can glorify the Lord. And he, in part, will share some of his glory with you. Remember what I was talking about earlier, God's presence, so glorified. You just can't even, they couldn't even really comprehend what was there when they saw God's glory in their presence. Okay, here's an interesting thing. I suspect Paul was doing a play on words. This momentary affliction is light, right? Okay. Now, this is in Greek, but Paul, as a Hebraic thinker, as a Pharisee himself, he would say, okay, the root word for weight and glory in Hebrew is the same word. It's transliterated KBD. So they have essentially the same meaning, the same basic meaning. How can that be weight and glory? I'll tell you why. In the Hebrew mind, it's simple. Glory is something you can feel. It's something that's pressing against you. But this isn't a good way. You just feel consumed by it. You feel it on you. In a positive way, you could share in God's greatness and majesty through all of eternity because you served him. And that next verse is so helpful to understand what Paul means by this. Because we can compare the two. So this seems very real because this is what we're experiencing right now. I don't deny that. All of this seems very real, our current state. But we need to try to look at things from God's perspective. And if we do that, we can see things from an eternal perspective, God's perspective. This period of time, let's say one of you can really crank it out and get to 112 years old. That's pretty good. But compared to eternity, that's nothing. That's really nothing at all. And so, I'll tell you what. Have you ever suffered really badly and you got through it because you thought at least it'll be over at some point? I know I have. I get food poisoning. And I'm like, oh, this is horrible. If I had to go through my whole life like this, I don't know if I can handle it. But it'll be over in a day or two. So it's the same kind of thing. If we can just take on God's perspective and know that we're going to share in his glory through suffering for him, this momentary life, we can get through it. We can handle it because we're looking at things from the way God sees eternity. And look, like what Brother Jerry said last week, I've never lost a child, and it's hard to even comprehend that, what that would feel like. And so I'm not saying this flippantly, like, oh, this is easy advice. Just look at it from God's perspective. I think this is something we have to wrestle with and pray for, and we can increase that perspective. But I'm not saying it's easy. But with the Holy Spirit, we can start to comprehend and appreciate things and have faith and believing the eternal God knows what's best. And once we're on the other side with him in eternity, we'll look back and go, that was light. I didn't even feel it. Compared to the glory now, that suffering I felt was nothing.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate that. It's kind of fun having him around for all the insight stuff. It's kind of fun. He does very well. That's exactly right. Listen, take some more notes, if you would, just on this point, and then I'll get it wrapped up for us, okay? The weight of this future glory with God is true, I believe, in both degree and duration. In degree, it's far better. In duration, it lasts forever. Did you catch that? The weight of future glory with God is true in both degree and duration. In degree, it's far better. It's much better. And in duration, it lasts forever. Last point here, which is verse 18, which is to accurately weigh things seen and unseen. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Accurately weigh the things seen and unseen. After all of this life is over, everything you now see and experience and touch in this physical world will no longer exist. Have you thought about that? Everything you see in this world, you see and you touch, will no longer exist. How about that? There may be another form of it in the next, but not exactly what you have there. And the reason here, look at this very carefully. Look at verse 18. This gets by people a lot. As we look not to the things That word look is a great word. That word look means to aim. To aim, which means this, to aim at a mark so that we hit it, or so that we set our sight on it specifically so we can obtain it. This word look means to aim. Now let's change this. So we aim not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. We aim for those things. And in so doing, we experience the kingdom of God. And in so doing, believe it or not, we get like the people from Hebrews chapter 11, the former saints of the Old Testament and those of the New Testament who were here in the flesh, but they aimed at the other things that were eternal. And we start to get like them. Look, as we aim not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. In fact, what's true is this, that look or that aim has to be intentional. It's to set our eyes, set our hearts. Colossians 3:2 says, your hearts, set your hearts on things above. Colossians 3:2. It means to put our energies and our ambitions towards something that we can't even see, but we aim at it. And you know what I wanted to do this morning to wrap this up? I am a visual person. Maybe you are too. I learn by seeing stuff. I learn by hearing stuff, just like you. But I'm much better when I see stuff. I seem to remember everything I've seen. So I thought if I could get everybody to put their pens down, their notes down, chair next to you, somebody else's lap, not yours. Okay. What you need is two hands for this. And that's, I'm trying to free up two hands. So let me see you get your two hands ready. This is going to seem goofy, but you're going to remember this forever because we did it. All right. Now, don't hold them up and do that because that's just kind of weird. All right. I want you to kind of hold them like this. Can you do that? Okay. Now, pay close attention to what we're going to do with this. This is going to prove to you that the afflictions we have are light and momentary. I've been wanting to get there and end there. So how in the world could Paul talk that way when these things seem like life and death? And they are. All right. You know, have you ever seen the balance scales where you put something here and this goes like this, or you put something here heavier? Okay, you understand it? All right, you need to have that for this illustration. All right, pick out one of your hands, whatever it is. Pick it out. All right. They both got to be out, by the way, for this to work. Yes, you're a balance scale right now. Those two need to be there, all right? Good. Now, in the one side, I want to have you start to put your afflictions in there, your troubles in there. Your suffering's in there, okay? And listen, if you're doing it right, watch me here. If you're doing it right and you're being honest about it, as you think of a suffering and you put it in there, this should start to happen. Remember, as this goes down, this goes up, okay? Now, some of you are already like that. I didn't say you needed to get there yet, okay? But it's going to get there, right? So think of your physical condition, your financial condition. Think of health, think of family, think of relationships, think of things that never happened for you that you want them to, and disappointments. And as you add, okay, how you doing? It's kind of heavy. Oh, hold up. My other side didn't go up. I was not doing it right. All right? So here we go. And Dennis already is dramatically showing me a picture like that, which I can't do. Okay, so you got it like this? Now that's that. Now hold it there for a while. We're going to do yoga. Reality is, you're not lying, are you? These things are heavy. In fact, they were so heavy that they tipped the scales this way, didn't they? Okay, now here we go. Watch this. In the other container, the counterbalance, now start to think about what goes in there. Eternal life with God, that lasts 100,000 years, right? No, it doesn't, does it? All right, hold on, I'm not done. 130,000 years, that's the number, all right? No, eternal life with God, I know what that is. Put that in that bucket, okay? Put in there even now, the life that you, eternal life that you've started with Jesus Christ has already started. You're already in fellowship with Him, okay? You catching what's going on here? Hold it, I'm not done. The fact that even now you get to share in His glory by suffering with Him and suffering for Him at times, but you know what? By the measure of grace and by the way He acts, it causes me to grow to be more like Jesus Christ. Are you getting it? Hold on, I'm not done yet. The reality is, He says that in the next life there's blessings for me, and He is going to be the giver of all good things as I get to behold it in His presence forever, worshiping Him face to face. Are you getting this yet? I'm not done yet. You've been called with a purpose while you're still here to serve Him in a specific way that nobody else can, and He put you there very strategically. You getting it yet? All right, you're getting the idea. And I can keep filling this bucket up over here, and finally, after a little bit, it goes like this. Now, don't lose this. Those of you who aren't doing this, you're not playing along. You got to play along, okay? And now you look up here at the verse, and you realize that these things here are light and momentary in comparison to what you have now in Jesus Christ and definitely what you're going to have. Do you get it? Let's pray. Our Father, how we do thank you for Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for the perspective your Scripture gave us this morning. And the fact is that these troubles here are light and they are momentary. And Father, even when they hurt, you more than minister to us and more than take care of us and more than use these situations to make us like your Son Jesus. Father, I thank you for this morning's Scripture. And Father, I pray that as we go from here that we might be able to share with others the light and momentary troubles that we're having, that we would also share with others the grace that you meet us with at those times. Father, how we thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.